Here on Gadget Lab, we dive deep into the tech universe, tackling questions like, is giving companies access to your genetic material a good idea? And are the latest phone releases really that different than the last ones? We want to help you make informed decisions about what is worth your attention. And here's something that is undeniably worth your time, a digital subscription to Wired. Lucky for you, we are giving Gadget Lab listeners an exclusive discount, 20% off an annual subscription to Wired. Just visit wired.com and use the promo code GL20 to get 20% off a digital subscription. Use GL20 to get exclusive access to stories on the latest innovations like AI, deepfakes, and VR, as well as today's most talked about people in technology.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Are you driving your car or doing laundry right now? Podcasts go best when they're bundled with another activity. Like Progressive home and auto policies, they're best when they're bundled too. Having these two policies together makes insurance easier and could help you save. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. Quote a home and car bundle today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
Mike.
Lauren.
How long have you been covering the internet for now as a journalist?
Oh, over 20 years.
How long have you been at Wired?
Over 20 years.
Basically, since the earliest days of the consumer internet.
Yes. Yeah. I've been online since I was a preteen. Sort of like that character in Almost Famous following around the band while I was a youngster.
Ah, don't make friends with the rock stars.
Yes, or the nerds.
How often would you say you still get tripped up on internet terms and protocols and acronyms?
Oh, a lot. I mean, yeah. It's never ending, especially now with AI, which I don't really follow as a journalist. And even if I did, I don't think I'd keep track of all the acronyms.
I agree. And I really think we need to demystify all of this for people. And what better way to do it than to make ourselves look like idiots?
Oh, yeah. Okay, sure. I can think of better ways.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Gadget Lab. I'm Lauren Good. I'm a senior writer at Wired.
And I'm Michael Calori. I'm Wired's director of consumer tech and culture.
We're also joined this week by senior writer Will Knight, who covers AI for us at Wired. Hi, Will.
Hello there.
It's great to have you back on. So we're doing something a little bit different today. We are turning the Gadget Lab into a quiz show. But before you all turn to another podcast, seriously, stay with us because we're going to attempt to define and explain all of the acronyms of the earliest and the most current consumer internet. Stuff that you're hearing about or maybe you even say all the time, like DARPA and TCP/IP and SMS. And LLM. How many times? Do a shot every time you hear LLM on a Wired podcast these days. Now, this was partly inspired by an early 2000s book that I happened to be reading recently. It's called .con by the New Yorker writer John Cassidy. And despite the fact that I know a little bit about the early internet, I mean, like Mike, I've been online since the mid-90s, I was actually floored by how many terms I didn't know. And it just got me thinking, we should do a podcast on this. Like, let's break this down into three parts. The early internet, the mobile era, and now the era of AI. And we've brought in Will because he is our expert AI reporter. So first, Will, you and I are going to quiz Mike because he's the guy who's already established that he's been around like forever since the dinosaur age of the internet.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And we're going to quiz you on all that. You have not seen these in advance.
Nope.
Will and I have a shared doc with each other. We've crafted some ideas that we think are, like, some you're going to get easily.
Okay.
And some I think might stump you.
Okay. I look forward to this. I'm not allowed to look them up while you're asking, right?
No, you were not allowed to look them up. I was not allowed. None of us were. And the way we're going to break it down is after this, you and Will are going to quiz me on the era of kind of the mobile internet, because that's when I started covering tech. And then finally, we're going to end with Will on AI. Okay. Will, would you like to go first in quizzing Mike on the wonky acronyms of the early internet?
Sure. I would be delighted. I want to just to preface it by saying I am terrible at remembering acronyms in the best of times, and there are a billion out there in AI, so I'm going to do terribly. But
Look at this caveating already.
The first one on our list is, it's not DARPA, it's ARPA, but they're related.
ARPA. Oh boy. Kicking it off with a bang here.
This predates the consumer internet.
Let's see. DARPA, the D is defense, because the internet started as a defense project, the U.S. government defense project, right? I can't remember what comes after defense in DARPA, so I can't remember what ARPA is. Research project? Mm-hmm. Something? Something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you're getting it.
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean,
okay.
If you think of the letter A and what the internet was at the time, it was pretty, like...
Autonomous? No.
We're getting there.
I don't know. It has something to do with...
It was the defense amazing research project.
American?
No, it actually didn't start in America.
Okay.
Did it?
I don't...
Well, like the earliest internet did not.
I give up. What does ARPA stand for?
Well, would you like to tell them?
Advanced Research Projects Agency.
Advanced Research Projects Agency. Okay. So was DARPA the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's okay. Right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. This one I think you're going to get.
Okay.
BBS.
BBS, mm-hmm. Bulletin Board System.
Yay.
Yes, BBSs.
Good
so
job.
A bulletin board system was like a computer in a basement somewhere, or in like under someone's bed, or in the closet in their mom's bedroom, where they hosted a message board, mm-hmm. and you would call on your modem to the message board and leave messages, and then hang up and go about your day, and then hours later go back and read people's replies. It was a community forum.
Mm-hmm. Do you know where it started? This is a bonus question.
Where BBS has started? Mm-hmm. I would just assume they started in like suburban North America.
Close. Well, it was Chicago in the 1970s during a blizzard.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, two guys kind of patched it together.
Nice.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Wow. I was an avid bulletin board boarder, I guess.
Yeah.
When I was quite young. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was not.
Remember it?
It's all there was.
Are they still around?
Yes, I'm sure they are. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's basically Reddit, right? But mm-hmm. it's all that was around. Like, there was not a whole lot you could do on the internet other than go to BBSs and chat rooms.
Right. And Google, I think, acquired it. Am I remembering that correctly?
They acquired the big user.
Usenet.
Oh, Usenet. Correct.
Yes.
They acquired Usenet.
Usenet
was started. Yes, BBS was started by two guys in Chicago in the 70s. Usenet was actually started at Duke University, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, fun
Simpler
one.
Simpler times.
Simpler times, indeed. Mike, what about ABR?
ABR?
Mm-hmm.
ABR?
I didn't know this one. Will put this on there.
I don't know what
did
that
I?
Means.
I think you did, Will.
I can't have done, because I don't know what that means.
Did I dream it up?
I don't know what ABR is.
Available bitrate.
Oh, available bitrate. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's like when you call a server, the maximum... baud you can the maximum BPS baud you can connect at, so like 1200, 2400, 9600. You're just staring at me.
I'm just gonna let you go on.
Okay, these are good.
We don't use baud enough. I think that's
we don't.
It's a great term. I don't know what it means, but it's a great term.
BAUD. It's BPS basically. It's the same bits per second. It's the
right.
same thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Makes me think of one of those modems going, making that noise.
Yes, that's exactly what baud is.
Next one, TCP / IP.
TCP / IP, otherwise known mm-hmm. to Americans as TCP / IP.
Or oh, just sorry, TCP, yeah. IP.
Okay.
Stroke? I'd never heard that
that's
before.
That's how they say slash in Britishese.
Okay. All right, then.
Transfer... Transferred content protocol, internet protocol?
Close. Or
did I miss the C?
Pretty close. No, you had control in there. I think you just had it all jumbled up. But
oh.
Transmission control protocol, internet protocol.
Transmission control protocol, internet
TCP,
protocol.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
TCP IP is what, it's packets on the internet. We still mm-hmm. use TCP IP today, mm-hmm. right? Yes.
Correct.
Internet mm-hmm. traffic is TCP IP traffic.
I just realized I'm not counting how many you're getting, but I think
I've gotten two.
Two out of four. Okay.
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 That's steaks and Cadillacs in the big leagues.
I admittedly didn't know that this was an acronym. BASIC.
BASIC, mm-hmm. the programming language. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know what it stands for.
Beginner's All-Purpose Symbolic Instruction Code.
That sounds utilitarian and correct.
All right, 2 out of 5.
Okay. How many are we doing?
Okay,
I don't know how many we're doing, actually. This is all very organized.
GUI.
GUI. Graphical yeah. User Interface, GUI.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
So like that was a new thing when we moved away from text-based interfaces and we got a mouse and a pointer and icons and a desktop. That's a GUI. Yeah, yep. I remember the birth of GUIs.
That's correct.
Sweet.
This one comes directly from the book that I was reading. It's a little unusual.
Okay.
I would say it's not an internet protocol.
Okay.
But it's very related to the early 2000s internet.
Okay.
PCLN.
PCLN?
Not an acronym, but it stands for something. I'm just breaking all the rules here.
I don't know.
It's a company.
It's a company.
Mm-hmm.
PCLN.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What does this company... Does this company make personal computers?
This company was one of the prime examples of boom and bust.
Boom and bust.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Petco?
No.
Oh, is it a stock ticker?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, okay. It's a stock ticker for PCLN. It's not Compaq. It's not Gateway.
It starts with P.
Starts with P. I don't know.
Priceline.
Priceline.
Mm-hmm.
Never would have gotten that.
I know. That's kind of a tough one.
Yeah, that is a tough one.
Will, would you have gotten that?
No, not at all. What is Priceline?
Priceline was a travel website.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, is that the the thing with William Shatner?
With William Shatner. I should have given you
He built it, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely was not just paid loads of money to promote it. He built it.
Okay. Give me one more because I'm deeply uncomfortable and I want to end this on a pretty good.
Oh, Will, do you want to do this next one? It's going to make you deeply uncomfortable.
Okay.
Okay. A/S/L.
Okay. A stroke S stroke L. Oh, is that what you're saying?
Much
more, yes, more proper.
Okay. That's age, sex, location. Is that right?
That is correct.
Yeah. All right. So like if you were chatting with somebody and you would usually say A/S/L ? Because you wanted to know their age, their sex, and their location. Sex, of course, meaning gender. And that was like an AOL kind of chat thing that I did not really participate in as much, but I'm aware of that because I was editing Wired Stories where people were referencing that acronym. That's how long I've been doing this. So
that's
yes,
pretty great.
That did make me deeply uncomfortable. Thank you.
Brought back memories, huh?
Yeah.
It was just refining friends.
Sure. Yeah.
Just like the rest of the internet.
Just like the rest of the internet. Mm-hmm. Okay. So is this where I get to start asking you questions?
Yeah. And how did Will you and I... score? Did we? I really wasn't keeping track. I think you got 4 out of...
I think I got all of them right.
Let's go with that. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. We give you 8 and I think you got about half.
Okay.
I don't know what the prize is, but congratulations.
The prize is bragging rights, as mm-hmm. always.
Okay.
All right. Okay, Will, we're gonna quiz Lauren now. And so we're moving on to the mobile era, which I guess is like roughly the turn of the century to about 2 years ago or like 2005, 2006.
I would classify it as 2007 when the iPhone was launched and then the App Store the following year, 2008.
Okay.
Onward.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. We'll do that.
Aren't we still in the mobile era? No, we're in the metaverse era.
Yes, we're yeah, we've gone full meta. All right. Well, so here we go for the mobile era.
I don't know if this how big this was in America, but WAP, WAP. Do you know this?
Not the song, Lauren.
Sorry.
Not the song.
All right. Okay. No. I'm gonna make this up. Wireless access protocol.
That's
close,
like
close enough.
Very, very close.
Okay, what is it?
Wireless application protocol. This is where they were like, we're going to reinvent the web for the mobile era, and it'll be really terrible and clunky, and just little pixelated websites. Huh. It was kind of a thing on Nokia phones in Europe for about a year.
We had that here too.
Okay.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, the first mobile browsers were WAP browsers.
I don't think I realized they were called that.
Yeah, Safari, I think, was the first mobile browser that was an actual browser.
Huh.
Yeah.
One note about this era, I think that if I'm going to get something confused quite a bit, it's service and system, mm-hmm. because a lot of the S's can refer to either mm-hmm. in the mobile era.
Oh, there's a lot of S's that mean neither of those in this list that I'm looking at right now.
Okay.
Okay, second one, MVNO.
Mobile video network operator.
Close.
No, mobile. Mobile. It's not video, is it?
Mm-mm.
It's mobile. I'm just going to make up something. Mobile vector network operator. That's a word people use a lot.
Virtual.
Virtual.
Mobile virtual
network operator. Yes, I do remember that.
So what is it? Can you define it?
No, I don't remember what it is.
It's like when a company leases spectrum from somebody who owns a network.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's all coming back. This is early mobile.
Yes.
This isn't, I was thinking app era. This is okay. But this is fun.
Okay. Next one. SIM or SIM.
Oh my God.
This is actually hard.
I eSIM. Think I'm going to quit while I'm ahead and just quit now. Well, eSIM is electronic SIM, but SIM is... you know who I keep thinking of right now? No, all of this is Dieter Bohn.
Yeah, probably.
I wish I had a lifeline to Dieter.
So SIM is a really hard one because I never would have guessed that it stands for what it stands for.
Okay. So it is the thing that gives you connectivity mm-hmm. on your mobile device. So I'm going to go with satellite. Is that correct?
Mm-mm.
Okay. System?
Nope.
Okay. Simulated?
No. I'm telling you, it's very esoteric.
Direct.
Okay. I don't know.
It's the subscriber identity module.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who came up with that?
I don't know.
It is weird. That is very weird.
Oh, wow. Okay.
There probably is a simulated identity module somewhere. You just say, I was thinking of that one.
Simulated. Okay. Wow. I think I'm 0 for 3, 0 for 4.
We'll get you some good ones.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I'll get a softball SMS.
Short messaging service.
Yeah.
It's actually simulated message subscriber.
Okay. Related question.
MMS.
No.
Oh, darn.
RCS.
RCS is... This is one of the ones where I'm going to get system and service confused. It's rich communications service.
Yes.
Okay, great. Yeah. So that is, there's SMS, which is short messaging service, which is text-based and happens over the wireless networks. And then MMS is when SMS basically got upgraded to multimedia service. And then now RCS is the wireless network-backed and Google-backed sort of new era of MMS that's bringing richer communications to what would typically be text-based messaging.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tapbacks, stickers.
Yeah, all the fun stuff. All the ways we have entire relationships now through tapbacks. Thanks for those easy ones, guys. I feel great.
Okay, Will, pick another one.
Okay, BBM.
BlackBerry Messenger, which predates iMessage as one of the first peer-to-peer direct messaging services on your phone that was actually owned and operated by the BlackBerry network.
Hey, now.
That was really fun. I miss BBM.
My favorite BBM thing is when they started buying product placement in television shows. So characters would say,
oh, BBM me.
I'll BBM you. And then they pull out their BlackBerry and the camera would show them on their BlackBerry doing that. And
yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
Okay, here's another one for you.
Okay.
SOC.
System on a chip.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, that refers to when it's one piece of silicon, but it's put together to create a system. And so you might have one core or basically one chip in the system that's dedicated to ML, and then you might have, you know, which is machine learning, or you might have another one that's basically dedicated to like the core processing. And yeah, but you put them all together as a system. Qualcomm is a very well-known maker of system on a chip.
Mm-hmm.
Apple makes its own now.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of people make them.
Okay, Will, throw her another one.
Okay, how about CDMA?
This one is really tough.
Was it like a precursor to 3G and it didn't last that long or something?
No, 3G, it was a type of network. So early on, mobile phones, were pretty much divided between GSM and CDMA. GSM was more popular in Europe. So Will, you might have been on GSM. You basically, when you bought a mobile device, you had to specify based on which wireless carrier you were on, what kind of device you were using.
That's right, because you had different ones. Yeah.
Verizon was our CDMA network.
That's right. And 3G was more in the category of like LTE, like which stands for long-term evolution of the type of service you would get. But
You should have waited for us to ask you that so you could get another point on the board.
Okay. CDMA, consolidated.
Nope.
Concentrated. Communication. Can you give me the first word?
Code.
Demystifier. Code debugging.
Okay. This one is horrible. Sorry.
This one is really hard.
What is it?
Code division multiple access.
I would like to talk to the manager.
It's just so obvious. So logical. What are you talking
this
about?
This is really fun, though. Okay. Bring it on. What's another one?
I don't know if this is really mobile era, but it's three emojis, an eye emoji, mm-hmm. lips emoji, and another eye emoji.
What?
An eye emoji.
Yep, an eyeball. Uh-huh.
And then the mouth.
And then the mouth.
And then an eyeball.
This is actually a way more recent thing, I think.
Okay, so it's okay. I. Here. No, that's an ear. I talk. I have no one's ever sent this to me. Am I being left out? What is this?
It stands for it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And really?
Yeah, it's kind of a TikTok thing, I think.
Oh, wow. That's
sort of as a.
I have to say, I was picturing a totally different era here.
Well, this was the very beginning of the pandemic. This ramped up.
Oh, I mean, no, not what I mean is you went really early mobile, and then you fast forwarded into the future. Sure. I was waiting for like ARPU and ATT and GPS and
GPS
stuff like
would
that.
Have been a good one.
Yeah.
Maybe we should have had
unit. App tracking transparency. I was like clearly in kind of like app mode. All right. Though no, I didn't, you know what? I had a lot to learn.
I think you did.
We clearly need some Gen Z person to come on and do TikTok.
We
incomprehensible TikTok slang.
Yeah. No, that would be
we wouldn't have a clue.
All right. So Mike, I think that you're in the lead technically, whatever this competition is.
I wasn't keeping score, but okay. Thank you for keeping score.
Okay. This is really fun. Thank you for schooling me, guys. We are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to spend the entire next segment talking to Will, quizzing Will, about AI, because it's what everyone's talking about. So stay tuned.
This podcast is supported by Tools and Weapons, the podcast hosted by Microsoft Vice Chair and President Brad Smith. Each episode features insight you won't find anywhere else from the center of the conversation surrounding emerging technologies like AI. Right now on the podcast, you can hear a special episode where Brad Smith lays out Microsoft's vision for a vibrant marketplace driving the new AI economy. To hear more, follow or subscribe to Tools and Weapons with Brad Smith, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everybody, it's Neil. I've got some huge news. Decoder is moving to Mondays and Thursdays. We're adding a second episode of the show. On Mondays, we'll have our classic interviews with CEOs and other troublemakers.
I think we're going to have to start having conversations about how do we pay those jobs that can't be done by AI.
And on Thursdays, we'll be explaining big topics in the news with Verge reporters, experts, and other friends of the show.
There's a new generation of people on the internet. Google search has always sucked for them. So, you know, there's no reason for them to be loyal. They can just go to TikTok.
This is going to be really fun. I'm very excited about all this. So go subscribe wherever you get your podcasts now.
Okay, so now we've brushed up on basically 25 years of tech acronyms. Congratulations. You're now everyone's favorite dinner party guest. It's time for AI. This is the part I think everyone is going to be most interested in right now because you're hearing these phrases literally all the time, and some of them are probably hard to grok. See what I did there?
Mm-hmm.
That's Elon Musk.
That's not an acronym, is it?
No, it's not an acronym, but we can get through an entire show without mentioning Elon Musk. Mike, do you want to go first in grilling Will?
Sure. Okay. Well, I'm going to kick off with the hardest one on the list.
Okay.
LLM.
Oh, okay. That's large language model, which is what everything's built on these days. All these chatbots and half of the internet built on large language model. Yeah. What to say about LLMs? They are, yes, it is an acronym that you hearing all the time.
So if someone is at a dinner party and someone starts talking about LLMs in the context of AI, how would you describe, like, here was this era of AI, but now everyone's talking about LLMs because they do X?
Okay, yeah. So language models are this example of generative AI. And generative AI has been around for decades and decades in that you generate stuff with an algorithm. But the large language model era is this era where they figured out feeding it enough information, feeding it basically the whole of the internet and as many books, a lot of copyrighted material as well, it turns out, into these particular types of algorithms, enables them to kind of conjure up very convincing seeming text. But the large is the key word there, because they're absolutely enormous algorithms and also fed huge amounts of information or data.
Nice.
Thanks, Will. And that's our show. That's all you needed to know. No, there's another one that we're hearing a lot these days. GPT.
GPT. Oh, okay. It's not generative pre-trained transformer, right?
Yes.
So it's a generative. So that's what I'm talking about. The generative models is the type of AI algorithm that doesn't discriminate, so it doesn't like recognize things in text or images, but generates stuff when given a prompt. And pre-trained means that they are pre-trained actually on specific types of data before being trained on the entire internet. And transformer is a certain type of algorithm that is a neural network that can focus on lots of different stuff at once, which turns out is very useful for language, because you kind of need to know the end of a sentence and the beginning to make sense of what's in the middle of it. Stephen wrote a great story about the paper "Attention Is All You Need," which came out of Google, which sort of transformed AI by revealing you could do kind of amazing things with language using these models for the first time. Mm-hmm. Or yeah, pointed that way.
That's our colleague Stephen Levy who wrote that.
Sorry, yes.
We'll put a link in the show notes to
it. Yeah, you can read it now. It's really good. And a lot of people probably know this, but for those who don't, when you refer to something like ChatGPT, which was released by the company OpenAI, the T in ChatGPT comes from that Google paper, that group of Google researchers. So it's kind of a derivative of Google's tech.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And pretty much, I mean, this is in Stephen's great story, but pretty much all of the people on that paper, the Transformer paper, ended up creating their own, well, a lot of them went off and created their own startups and got billions of dollars of funding.
That's why we all do it though, right? To make billions of dollars.
Well, humanity be damned.
Speak for yourself. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here's another one for you. The third one. Okay. You're 2 for 2, by the way. Congratulations. You're already whooping us.
Okay. He's going to sweep.
NLP.
Okay. That's natural language processing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Pardon me, Will. It's processing.
Processing, sorry. As opposed to NLU, natural language understanding. So that means doing stuff with language, not just understanding or not comprehending the language, but doing also synthesizing it sort of stuff.
Okay, so natural language understanding is so that a computer can understand what you're saying when you say something to it, but natural language processing so that it can answer you in a way that is like human-ish. Is that right?
Yeah, I think it just refers to the bigger field of doing stuff with language.
Oh, I see.
So it could be, yeah, I think it can encompass voice recognition and processing, that sort of stuff. I think I could be wrong.
We're going to go with you're right. Yeah. Here's the next one, which I think you'll get. RL.
Oh, reinforcement learning.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, this is...
He's crushing it.
Well, these are all more recent. And I think you're being kind to me because there are a billion abstract acronyms out there. RL is the type of algorithm that AlphaGo was. So it's quite different to the things like ChatGPT in it, that it's the idea of having a computer learn through experimentation how to solve a particular task. So they, DeepMind didn't invent reinforcement learning. That was this guy called, I think it was Rich Sutton, or he was a pioneer of it. And then, but they figured out you could, with more powerful computers, get machines to do quite impressive tasks that it's impossible to program a computer to do. So they started off with having it play Atari games better than a person, and then they famously demonstrated it on Go, the board game, which is very, very difficult to learn and play, and it's very sort of difficult to describe what makes a good move, so it's hard to program. But the idea is through sort of, it has reinforcement in the form of positive or negative feedback for a good or a bad move, moving towards a goal. Interestingly, the big thing that people are trying to do now to move beyond ChatGPT is combine some of these two things. A lot of places are trying to do that, because so ChatGPT sort of goes off the rails and says mad things and it doesn't understand what numbers are, which is kind of a problem in an intelligence. But you can use reinforcement learning to have it possibly figure out how to perform specific tasks, maybe including things like math. But it's not demonstrate that you can, that it will work, but this is sort of an idea to take these two big things in AI and combine them.
Okay, here's another one for you.
Okay.
LSTM.
Okay. This is, I have to mention the name of the guy who invented this because he's famously gets upset when people don't. It's Jürgen Schmidhuber invented the LSTM. So
God bless long you.
Yeah. He's quite a character. Long short, shoot, something memory. Long short-term memory?
Yes.
Yeah, correct.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I know. We should have made this harder. Mm-hmm.
So that's a type of neural network that can tap into memory, essentially, which is something they don't have. And it's there are a lot of these different architectures. This is one that's quite old. It sort of predates a lot of deep learning stuff, but it was very important and influential. Hence why Jürgen likes to be credited with stuff. I spoke to him recently, and he was doing some very interesting things, trying to build these models that kind of argue with each other in order to figure out a task, like a kind of gestalt thing that if one isn't good at it, if another one can figure it out. So you have these specialized networks.
Is he a big Stanislaw Lem fan?
He's a huge science fiction fan, actually.
Yeah.
Because of the
computers arguing with each other and like competing.
Of course, try
and figure out problems.
Maybe that's where I didn't think of that. Yeah, he's a huge sci-fi nerd. It must be probably his inspiration for it.
So this is what you're describing is a new era of the virtual assistant. Remembering what you talked about before. Because there was a version of this like on Google Home Assistant several years back at this point, I want to say at least 5 years back, where Google would say, like you would say to the Google Home or your assistant on your phone, hey, Google, ask it a question like, how tall is LeBron James? And then without having to prompt it again, saying, okay, and what team does he play for? And having these this volley back and forth where it had a limited amount of memory to remember what you asked initially. But now, right, Will, it's this movement towards you could ask ChatGPT for an itinerary for Barcelona and then come back days later and pick up the thread and just say something like, what else should I add to my trip? And it's going to remember what it was you talked about. And people are talking about this too, not only in the form of like customer service agents and stuff like that, but even in like EQ AIs, like ones that are meant to do more emotional tasks. If you're using one for therapy, imagine coming back a week later and having it remember what you talked about before.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. The idea of having, because ChatGPT doesn't remember anything beyond a long string, its previous prompts. Typically, I think they've added some more memory, but that idea of having a bigger memory.
Yeah.
Okay. Is a big thing. But the other thing that he's looking at is the idea that, because you can have a small model that's better than GPT-4 if it's very much trained on a specific task. So this is the idea that you have a bunch of these ones that interact with each other, and then they can work as well as a really big one. But also, I think they're back and forth. The idea is that it kind of shakes out more something cleverer. I don't know if it works.
Okay, the next one, Palm, which I'm pronouncing like a word, but it's P, lowercase a, and then capital LM.
Oh, God. I'm not going to get this one.
Yeah, we stumped
it. I'm going to make something up.
I wouldn't get something the first word.
It's language model at the end, probably.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Well, just so you know, before this episode, we joked about calling this WILM, which would be W-I-L-L-M, the Will Learning Large Language Model.
One day, my language model would be able to come in my place and get it all right because it could look it up. I don't know. Pre-trained, amazing language model.
Nope.
Good guess. It's Pathways language model.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh. Yes, we got them.
So who does?
So this was the one. This was the precursor to ChatGPT. They built some pretty amazing chatbots on top of it, but never released them, I think.
Okay.
That's right.
Well, here's another one with a lowercase in it. This one is Llama, LL, lowercase a, capital M, capital A.
I don't know this one either.
I think you Llama. Do, only because, oh. I'm going to give you a hint, because I think you know the company behind it, and that letter factors into this.
Well, so Meta's behind Llama.
Mm-hmm.
Two L's, language, some, how does Meta, I don't know. I no idea.
It's Large Language Model Meta AI, Llama.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah, right. So there's like extra letters in there. It's large language, L lowercase a, model, Meta AI, but there's not two M's. It's just Llama.
Hmm. I should have at least got large language and made the rest up.
They really just shoehorned Meta in there.
They did, yeah.
Because there was an alpaca, I think. I think they wanted to get something. I think. I might be hallucinating that.
Fitting.
Anyway.
The next one, which will be the last one, is it's a bit of a trick because it's not an acronym, but maybe you can describe where it comes from. DALL-E, DALL-E.
Oh, I do know this. I might get this word wrong. Is it a portmanteau? Is that what you say?
Yes, mm-hmm. Portmanteau.
It's a portmanteau, sorry, of Salvador Dali and WALL-E.
Good job.
Excellent.
Wow.
I just remember that because it was... Every story had to explain that it was a portmanteau or whatever the word is. And so I was like, shit, I better learn that word, which I haven't done.
This is an image generator.
Right. This is the OpenAI image generator that is trained on lots of nice artwork. Yes, trained on the whole internet, which includes lots of artwork, I guess.
All belonging to OpenAI.
Yes.
Fully within copyright.
Of course. Yes.
No issues there.
Yeah.
I think Will won.
So I...
Handily.
Did I?
I think so. Yeah, you got six out of eight.
Okay. I felt like I fell off a cliff
Well, yeah, but, you know, if you win all your games in the first half of the season, it's okay to lose some in the second half of the season.
Is that how it works? Don't you get closer to the playoffs in the second half?
Yeah, but your stands are full all year round if you win all your games in the first half of the season.
Spoken like a true capitalist.
I'm an A's fan.
He's wearing an A's hat right now.
But it might be slightly different if you guys were writing about CDMA and the like every week.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true. This is true. I mean, I referenced those things a lot. When I first started writing about tech, I was a video journalist at the Journal, and then I started writing, and I remember my first story was about MDTV, mobile DTV. But then after that, I just sort of cruised right into like modern smartphones and App Store. Mm-hmm. So the early stuff is really, that was really fun.
Foundational.
Super fun to learn about.
You did well.
I don't know. not so much. I can admit defeat. What does Will get? What's his prize?
He gets to go first on recommendations.
Ooh, good one. Let's take a break and come back with those.
Want a new podcast to look forward to each week? One that's entertaining, informative, and packed with actionable content? Come on, of course you do. Introducing The Jordan Harbinger Show. The Jordan Harbinger Show, which Apple named one of its best of 2018, is aimed at making you a better informed, more critical thinker so you can get a sense of how the world actually works and come to your own conclusions about what's happening, even inside your own brain. Jordan dives into the minds of fascinating people, from athletes, authors, and scientists, to mobsters, spies, and hostage negotiators. Search for The Jordan Harbinger Show. That's H-A-R, B as in boy, I, N as in Nancy, G-E-R, in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening right now.
Will, as the winner of our acronym competition, all we can give you is the option to go first in recommendations. So have at it.
I wish I'd known, because I would have deliberately failed to buy myself more time. So I'm usually trying to come up with this on the fly, but I did think of it before. So I'm going to recommend a book that I read recently, The Rise. I'm holding it up for the listeners on Zoom, The Rise and the Fall of the East by Yashan Huang. It's the East in the title stands for Exams, Autocracy, Stability, and Technology. It's a kind of incredibly in-depth historical analysis of Chinese bureaucracy, which sounds like a real page turner, but it's actually incredibly well done and does a lot to actually explain how China got to where it is and why it's sort of this paradoxical place where it seems very innovative, but in some ways it's not as innovative, or it's sort of held back. And I found it very convincing as to why also China is where it is right now with the current leadership. And it's really fascinating if you're interested in China and its technology.
And how did you hear about this book?
I know Yashan Huang from MIT, and I know his work. He's quite a famous scholar on China and its tech industry. And they asked me to interview him on stage there, where I live down the road from MIT. So I had to furiously read it in 2 weeks, which was kind of intense. But I knew he had one in the works because I'd been talking to him.
This is how modest Will is. I think a lot of us would lead with, so I spoke to this really smart thinker and author recently, and our talk was so scintillating. And also he has a book, and Will kind of led with, I'm reading this book. No. And how do you know him? And I happened to interview him.
I'm just very incompetent at presenting things, selling myself.
Not at all. Will, we will not only link to the book in the show notes, but we'll link to your talk as well.
Thank you.
Mike, what's your recommendation?
My recommendation is on topic for this week's show. It's called The Jargon File, and it's this open source text document that lives out on the internet that you can print out or you can just look at. It can be copied and pasted in other places, but it's basically a big glossary of like hacker slang and acronyms and fun terms. There's a lot of humor in it. And it's a fun way to like look at computer history through like the language and the rhetoric that people have like associated with computers and how hackers talk to each other. So yeah, the Jargon File is just, it's basically just like an A to Z dictionary, and you look up words. For example, some words that are in there, I'm just going to flip through. Bit rot is a good one. Cyberspace and cyberpunk are both defined in here. Dancing frog, kill file, the pumpkin, the patch pumpkin, the pumpkin holder, spoiler space, vaporware is defined in here. Windows with a Z is defined in here. So it's really fun, like, way of looking into hacker culture and computer science over the years.
Cool.
Yeah.
Who created it?
It's an open source project. So a bunch of people have edited it and contributed to it over the years.
But someone must have started it.
I'm sure somebody did start it. Yes. I don't know who that person is, but it's very easy to find because it's hosted multiple places, and you just need to search for Jargon File. You search for those two words together and you'll find it. It's just a big HTML document.
Super cool.
Yeah.
Super nerdy.
Yeah.
That's what we're here for.
It's a lot of fun.
That's what we should rename our podcast.
Super nerdy.
Super nerdy.
Then we actually have to live up to that descriptor.
I know, that's true.
Don't know, as a couple of English majors.
Sometimes sometimes my recommendations are very basic.
Okay, I want to hear your, is this all caps basic? B-A-S-I-C basic?
Nope, but I like how you're bringing it back.
Okay.
My recommendation, it's not at all academic or nerdy. It's an app called Forest. Some of you might be familiar with the Pomodoro method of working, which means you set a timer and you work for 25 minutes straight, no distractions. There are a lot of different apps that sort of take advantage of the Pomodoro method and then create different, you know, user interfaces for it and different mechanisms. There are also web versions for people who get really distracted, like in their, you know, on their desktop with stuff flying in their browsers and 18 different browser tabs open.
Mm-hmm.
This one is a mobile app. I think it cost me $2.99 to download. I just like clicked a button and showed my face and I had it, but I'm pretty sure it was $2.99 because that's how we buy things on the internet now. And it simulates planting trees. So every time you work 25 minutes uninterrupted, sets the timer, you've planted a tree at the end of it. So it's the Pomodoro method, a little bit gamified, and it's just a good way to cut down on distractions if you feel like you're a little bit ADHD as you're working.
Okay.
Yeah. So check out the Forest app. And then you can, if you want to work for an extended clip, you can just set 25-minute increments with a 5-minute break in between. I'm not using it quite like that yet. I'm just like picking a 25-minute block and going for it.
That's nice.
Helpful for writers.
Yes.
For sure.
Or anything task-based.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of a sudden, thinking about doing administrative work or filing expenses or something like that becomes a lot more tolerable if you are, if you just think, I can do this for 25 minutes.
Go make a tree.
Go plant a tree, a little virtual tree.
That's lovely.
In a simulated world, like Sim. I had to bring it back too. Before we say goodbye, I just want to give a shout out to some folks who have been leaving us reviews on the Apple Podcasts app. We love all the reviews. We genuinely read them. We appreciate the feedback. And thank you. Yeah, for everyone who's listened to this point, go leave us a review.
We could say thank you to the people who've left reviews on the Google Podcasts app, but that's gone.
So there R.I.P. isn't Google anymore. Podcasts. I know. Where else do people leave podcast reviews?
YouTube, probably.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll see.
We're not on there.
Sure we are.
We are?
Yeah. Our feed publishes there, I think. But okay. You don't see our faces. You just see the robot blowing the bubble.
Yeah.
Are you guys on TikTok? Do you have a TikTok?
Sometimes. No. Our podcast is on TikTok.
Yeah.
I go on. Mike's on TikTok a lot.
Cool.
He
All
needs
the
Pomodoro app to focus because he's like, TikTok is ruining his life. He loves the dancing teen videos. It's really weird. He's shaking his head right now.
Because I don't. I don't.
You knew what the TikTok emoji were.
Well, yeah, because I had the sheet that Will and I shared.
Oh, right. Okay. Speaking of, Will, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me and for letting me win. I appreciate it very much.
You're very welcome. It's been an absolute pleasure. And Mike, thanks for being a great co-host.
Of course, anytime.
And thanks to all of you for listening. If you have feedback, you can find us all on the social networks. Just check the show notes. Our producer is the excellent BA, otherwise known as Boone Ashworth. Goodbye for now. We'll be back next week.
Hi. Hi, I'm Jeremy Larson, the Reviews Director of Pitchfork, and this podcast is supported by Pitchfork Music Festival. Pitchfork Music Festival will take place July 19th through the 21st at Union Park in Chicago, Illinois. This year's lineup features Jamie XX, Alanis Morissette, Black Pumas, Carly Rae Jepsen, Brittany Howard, J. Paul, Muna, Jesse Ware, 100 Gex, and many more. The festival also features diverse vendors as well as specialty record, poster, and craft fairs, and works to support local businesses while promoting the Chicago arts and food communities as a whole. For more information on tickets and lineup, visit pitchforkmusicfestival.com.